All the songs were a praise to God today, and just want to thank the Lord for each one and the kind of invitation song LaRue sang there, Come and See Christ My King, Come and Live Forever. It reminded me of a part of Charles Spurgeon's testimony where he said he went from place to place looking to be at peace with God, and you know, couldn't quite find the answer to that. And so he said, I was looking for somebody to tell me, how do I get my sins forgiven? And he went to a place, and the preacher was preaching from Isaiah, where it says, the Lord says, look to me, all ends of the earth, and be saved. So, and the preacher happened to look at him and say, you young man, you have a lot of trouble in your life, and you're never going to be able to deal with that trouble until you turn to Christ. Look to Christ. So Spurgeon said that he knew that was a good message for him. And he said, he just prayed, Lord, be my Savior. Jesus, I look to you. And it was a beginning of a brand new life between him and Christ. So that's a testimony of one man and can be similar to your testimony today. Put your trust in Christ and you'll have a new life now and forever with the Lord. And to come and live forever. I'm sitting there and I was thinking, if I wasn't a Christian, I think I'd become one just on the basis of that song alone. So that was a great, great gospel message. Well, the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ was a fella named Bill Bright. He helped a lot of people get to know the Lord. And him and his organization came up with a phrase that has helped a lot of people think about God's first step in their life. And the phrase goes like this. It says, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And if that's the only thing you heard from the Bible, you'd be far down the road in meeting Christ. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. You just break that down a little bit using Scripture. God loves you. He so loved the world, he'd give his son. In Jeremiah, it says he's loved you with an everlasting love. Now, human love is up and down, weak and strong, there and not there. You know, it's the best we can do. Don't throw a fit about it. That's just the way it is. That's human love. God says, I love you with an everlasting love. All the time, always faithful. There I am to give you, you know, peace in your heart. And that's the way the Lord is for us today. And he wants us to be fueled and impacted by that love. God loves you. And then secondly, has a wonderful plan for your life. So God's not flying by the seat of his pants in terms of how he wants to help us in life. He says, I know the way you should go and I'll direct you in it. In fact, in Jeremiah, he says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to help and not to harm. You say, whoa, introduce me to a person like that. One like that. Plans to help, not to harm. That's the Lord, his heart for us. And the great thing about the Lord is he knocks on the door of our heart, and we open our heart to him. He gives us gifts that are a part of his plan for our life. Gifts to honor him and gifts to bless somebody else. So he's bringing good news through his people like that. He loves us, has a wonderful plan for our life. God gives us gifts at birth to honor him and bless others. Some of us, some were born with a real good voice to praise him. We've heard a lot of that this morning. Sing real well. The rest of us born with a rooster voice. Voice to just kind of wake people up. It's loud. It has a purpose. God is honored with the rooster voice. And he gives us gifts from birth that we're glad to have. We should recognize they're from him. They're to honor him and help others. But he also gives us gifts at the second birth when we are converted for the same purpose, to honor him and to help other people. And there are 19 such gifts named in the New Testament. And we'll try to get acquainted with them a little bit this morning and try to get your heart won over to the fact that God has a plan for your life using those gifts to honor him and to bless others. And the gifts, I'll mention them right now, the gifts that are kind of out front in a lot of ways, which we think, well, if I don't have those gifts, I'm not very gifted. That's not true. Every believer in Christ has one or more gifts. You probably have more than one. But here's some of the gifts. Leading, the gift to lead, that's from God. Preaching, to tell it like it is. Evangelism, all of us are called to share Christ. Some do it very well. To be sent, or to be like a missionary or an apostle, a sent one. Wisdom, to be able to see what is needed. That's the out front kind of gifts. Then there's, I'll call them gifts of people-oriented gifts. Mercy. Like to surround yourself with people who have mercy. Encouragement. Get built up. You can build others up. Serving. Boy, everybody serves, but some serve very well. Teaching. Pastors. Kind of shepherd people to health in Christ. Hospitality. You know, you love to just make people feel at home. By the way, there's a welcome, remember the welcome visitors ministry meeting, some got a letter about. And then there's gifts that are really divine intervention type gifts. Miracles, faith, healing, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Giving often is a very God intervention type gift. Just a giving person in all ways. And then there's gifts of fine-tuning others, discernment, knowledge, teaching. I don't know if I mentioned that one yet. But all those gifts from God. And I want to tell you a story I heard that I found very helpful. And see which person you most identify with in this story. Because that will give you maybe a hint or an open door as to how God has gifted you to honor Him and to serve others. I think you would want to know that. We have a lot of young people in our church. And for me, it took me a long time to hear God's voice in terms of what to do in vocationally. In fact, there's a place that you can go on Focus on the Family ministry that has a place for young people to punch into and go through a list of vocational callings and interests. And it kind of helps them get a direction in their life for their vocation. I thought, boy, I could have used that when I was younger. But God leads us to serve Him with the gifts He gives us. And so this is what happens with these four people. I'll tell you the story once and then we'll kind of break it down. These four men, let's say, are going to a birthday party. They've been invited to go to a birthday party for a 95-year-old person in their church. And their responsibility is to bring the cake. Okay, not too hard. So they go, these four guys, bring the birthday cake to the birthday party, spend time with a fellow 95. He's glad to see them. So they come to the birthday party. They come into the kitchen ready to celebrate with the cake. And the man holding the cake trips. Cake falls on the floor. Bang. Cake is smashed and ruined. And the man's on the floor. And everybody's, now what? Okay, and there's these four Christians ready to spring into action to honor God and to build other people up. How do they do it? Well, the first man, he starts to give directions right away. He knows what to do when things are difficult. So he says, you go and do this. You go and do that. Somebody else get a broom, start cleaning up. And he hesitated going to the party. He thought, what do I want to go to a party for? All of a sudden, he springs to life. He has something to do. He has gifts that God has given him to lead others. To lead others. And that's how he builds the body up. You might have that gift if you find yourself bringing order to a chaotic situation. You have gifts to lead others. That's a very important gift in the body. It honors God. It often redirects people back to Christ and to follow Him real well. So that's the first guy. The second guy, he jumps down right on the floor with the cake. And he says, this is a great opportunity to trust God. Okay, he sees this as an opportunity where God's divine intervention is going to come and do something better than even sitting there and eating the cake together. And in fact, he starts to ask people, let's sing some songs to honor Christ. Right away, he's putting the Lord back in the center of everything. And he has certain gifts which we'll talk about. Let's call him David. First guy, let's call him Paul. the one who gave direction. The second guy, let's call him David. The third man, he sees the cake, he sees the people, he moves toward people right away. He says, how are you doing with this? He's concerned about the man who fell. Are you okay? Are you injured at all? He don't care about the cake. He don't care about the party. He cares about the people. What's going on in your life? You know, the party's going to be okay. He brings some reassurance. He has some gifts in his life, people would say, to steady the ship. People are, what are we going to do now? He's moving to the people to build them up in some manner. The fourth guy, he looks at the cake, he looks at the kitchen, he says, cake's too big for the kitchen. Now, we need to think this thing through. So when this second cake arrives, this doesn't happen again. And he starts to look at the details of what's going on and begins to say, the second time around, it could be a lot better. If you have a thinking mind, an analytical mind that you seem to get from Christ as a spiritual gift, that's the kind of serving or ministry that you could have to bless other people. Well, let's look at these gifts and see how God gives them and how he could use them for his honor. The first gift would be a gift to bring leadership. In the Bible, it's called governing or administration or leading. Sometimes wisdom goes along with that bunch, because if you're going to be leading, you want to have a sense of what God wants in terms of health. And Paul, the apostle, had the gift of leading. People, he heard about a church, and the church says, I wonder how to worship. Paul says, here's how to worship. He gave him some directions on that. And they said, how do you have a family life? And Paul said, if you want a good family life, here's how you do it. Wonder how you're supposed to serve. Paul said, if you're going to serve, you better have the attitude of Christ Jesus. Paul had the gift of giving directions and giving order to disorder. Great health for the body. And if you have that, move into a position where you see chaos or people are just hesitant what to do. God is calling you to come. And God will honor himself as you use that gift. And you'll be a blessing to others. Now, what the people with the leadership gifts, governing, wisdom, and those things, what should they be aware of? What should they be cautious about from God's Spirit? If they are leading in love, they will not dictate. Okay, they won't become a dictator. That's the weak side of that gift. All of a sudden, you just got to tell people what to do, and they better listen, because I know what I'm doing. Okay, do not dictate if you have the gift of leadership. And learn to listen to others. Learn to hear what other people are going through so you could lead effectively. When Christ works through the person with leadership gifts, then people are always directed back to Christ. Jesus gave a caution to his own followers about the way they lead. He said, now, you know how the Gentiles lead. They just lord it over each other. That's no problem. He said, you shouldn't. That's not to be the way with you. If you want to be a good leader, be a good servant. Have a good servant attitude. So Christ has called you as a believer, part of his plan for your life. Lead like Christ would lead. Let's look at the second guy. He's the man who jumps on the floor and says, this is a miracle waiting to happen. You know, this cake that is broken. He turns it into a poetic experience. Reminds me of how God can be faithful, he says, in the midst of great loss. And who knows? God may bring some health from this bad thing. When people see the cake and the mess, whether it's a cake or a more serious mess, the person with this gift, he says, you guys see the problem. I see God. We call this man David because David had that kind of gifting. The Holy Spirit was beside him, not in him. But God gave him that gifting. People said, there's Goliath. He's a big problem. We got a big problem, and we don't know what to do. And David said, you think you got a big problem, but we have a bigger God. We have a bigger God. And that person, if you're gifted like that, you have the gift of faith. Maybe you have the gift of seeing a miracle that God would do. God kind of gives you a heart for that. Gift of maybe seeing a person healed emotionally or physically. God's a great God. He could do that. So that's a key gift in the body. It reflects Jesus' love for people when you express that gift and have that gift. Now, what's the caution for if you have that gift of faith or healing or miracles? It's to slow up with your faith. To slow up a little bit. And don't attack others who don't see the things that you have seen. A lot of times people with the gift of faith who say, we have a big God and everything's going to be fine. When others aren't responding the same way, they tend to attack people around them. You should have faith like me. Why don't you? You know, and the people are there. I just don't see that yet. So if you have the gift of faith and see things greatly that God would give, slow up and be in tune with people around you. Let's talk about the third person who I think God gives a lot of people to in the body of Christ. We'll call him Barnabas. Remember, when the cake fell, he went immediately to people. How's everything going in your heart? What kind of gifts does he have? He has the gift of mercy, the gift of encouragement, the gift of maybe shepherding people to help. He's concerned about is the man injured? He don't care about the cake. Is the man injured? Okay, those are gifts, are Holy Spirit-oriented gifts that will bring health and life to people who are hurting. And God can use you like that if you have those gifts. Often the gift of hospitality fits into that. What are the corrections for people who have the people-oriented gifts? Well, if you're going to use those gifts, speak up. Tell everybody, hey, let's remember why we're here for the fellow with the birthday party. Let's see how he's doing. And let's stay together in this endeavor. Speak up and get moving. Take the initiative if you're like Barnabas. And the last person, remember the person who said, I can see how this problem could be solved, often has the gift of discernment, teaching, and knowledge. Spiritual gifts that God gives. That person sits there and looks at the mess and he says, you know, the average cake is 9 pounds. This cake is 11 pounds. It's the beginning of our problems right there. You know, if I just had a blueprint of the kitchen, we could walk into that kitchen the next time. We wouldn't trip over everything. We'd be able to do it the right way. Knows the details. Okay, brings health to a situation of unhealth. Helps people be strong. He call him Nehemiah. God gave Nehemiah that kind of gift when he was rebuilding the walls. Now you might think, well, is this part of God's wonderful plan for my life? God would say yes. To be like his son with the fruit of the Spirit and like his son by the way you use the gifts God has given you. And then there's things God has built into your life that are real important to be put into practice to honor God and to bless others. What would happen to the situation if the man who was supposed to lead didn't lead when the cake fell? People maybe be stuck in the mess they were in. Or the man who had the gift of mercy didn't put that into practice. People would think, these people around there solving problems, but they don't seem to care about the people around them. If all the gifts are put in practice by every believer that God has called to himself, man, what Paul said, that's like the body of Christ himself ministering and serving in that situation. And you check your own heart. Sometimes if you don't put your gift into practice and you don't serve, what happens is frustration begins. You say, I'm frustrated. I see the cakes on the floor and nobody's saying how God could bring something good out of that. The man with faith is frustrated. See, unless you put your gift into practice, you'll start to get frustrated. You'll say, I don't even know, you know, why I'm a part of this. If you're frustrated, it's because you're not using your gift. To honor Christ and to help others. Because if you're really honoring Christ and helping others, you're saying, Boy, I feel God's wind at my back. And He's doing good things through my life. And to put it into practical following of the Lord, when you see situations in the home or at work or at church that need what God has gifted you to do, you could say, hey, I would like to help in that area, and this is how I would like to do it. And somebody will say, we've been looking for you for quite a while. To just move into that and provide some health when there is no health. Fruitful service to Christ comes from God's Spirit for the common good. For the common good. And again, to say this is God's plan for my life, to honor Him, to serve people. It'll put fuel in your walk with the Lord. It'll come from Him. We're going to see an example of what I think is a good illustration of 1 Corinthians 12, about a man who had a gift, didn't know if he should use it or not, went ahead and used it, and watch what happened. Watch what happens to the people in the video. Watch what happens to the man himself as he finally does what God has created him to do. Some of you have seen on television recently the lady who sang real well in the TV show Britain's Got Talent. And so she didn't look like she had a voice, but she had a great voice. Well, this is I put this together Monday or Tuesday earlier in the week before she had that experience, and it's from a guy named Paul Potts. He sold cell phones in Wales, and he kind of thrived on that. But God also gave him something else about which he could honor Christ, which eventually he was able to express. So watch what happens, and maybe see yourself in these shoes. Okay, guys.
But for the next contestant, the world of showbiz seems a million miles away.
It's Paul, a mobile phone salesman from South Wales.
By day, I sell mobile phones. My dream is to spend my life doing what I feel that I was born to do.
Paul, what are you here for today, Paul?
To sing opera. I've always wanted to sing as a career. Confidence has always been sort of like a difficult thing for me. I've always found it a little bit difficult to be completely confident in myself.
Okay. Ready when you are.
Car phone warehouse, and you did that. I wasn't expecting that.
No, neither was I.
This was a complete breath of fresh air. I thought you were absolutely fantastic.
Okay, thank you, Dana. Okay, He said he always had trouble with confidence in himself. God gave him the gift, right? So he went ahead and did it. And if you have problems with confidence in yourself, you can switch that over to confidence in God. And as impressive as his voice was, you know, gift God gave him from birth, that certainly honored God, and the people's response was anything from to cheers and great emotions. I think when every believer in Christ, just like the man has a good voice, uses his voice for Christ, you have a gift, mercy, serving, encouragement, leading, faith, and you just use that with dependence on God, people are really, really helped. Really helped. As much as the group was helped there. And God is really honored. He says, look what I brought about with this jar of clay here that I created. And your gift is as beautiful and as important to the Lord as the gift of the voice was to the people. So the Bible says, now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. And to each one, the Spirit has given a gift for the common good. So you surrender to Christ and say, Lord, send me to honor yourself and build other people up by what you have put in my soul. And Christ draws our hearts like a magnet to serve him in the different areas of service he calls us to. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word, and all these gifts we know, Jesus, are very important. None are as important as you, or none are as important as using our gift the way you would want us to. And I imagine, Lord, first of all, that would mean you calling them, you activating our gift by us putting it to use, using our gift in love. Because if we use our gift without love, then it doesn't honor you, doesn't help people. So strengthen your body, Father. It's your people, your body. Strengthen your body with the Holy Spirit helping people serve the way they love to serve. And honor yourself greatly through your people. Thank you. You're able to do that. Bless each one. Might there be surrendered lives of service and putting into practice the things you've equipped us to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Singing a great song, Victory in Jesus. He comes and heals our broken spirit. And we can know him now and forever through the grace of God. Make this your song as we close.